These two accounts that we read from the Gospels are very familiar, these stories. And I wonder whether you wonder, what does this have to do with anything that we've been talking about, or the banners, or whatever. But, you know, in both of these accounts, we see the disciples in a boat. And surely, that little boat represents and signifies the church. And when you put the two accounts together, I hope, in this little fellowship, you will see. Brother Sam, he spoke the three banners, right? The three burdens that we mentioned earlier in the year concerning the church life. Loving the brotherhood. That's from 1 Peter chapter 2. I hope you will see the brothers are in the boat. The brotherhood. If you want to love the brotherhood, you've got to be in the boat. Second what? Serving in or as the priesthood. And I think you know, the priests are also in the boat, right? We're serving the Lord in his church. And we're on this little journey together. The priesthood is in the boat. And I think maybe already you could see, what's the third banner? Overcoming. Actually, to overcome, you have to be in the boat. Oh, you may say, oh, Peter, but Peter was outside. Yeah, only for a little while. And eventually, the Lord led him into the boat. Also, this week, sorry, we're not having an opportunity to prophesy on that message. I think it's message number 8 that we had from the past semi-annual training. That was on the experience of enjoying Christ as the reality of the good land, as the land in which we do not lack anything. Oh, but I tell you, that's related to the boat. Remember Psalm 23? Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. I will not lack anything. Or I shall not want. That's the King James. I shall not lack anything. So the Lord wants to be everything to us. But even in that psalm, that's just verse 1. Where does the psalm end? It ends in the house, right? In God's house. And the house in Psalm 23 is this little boat. So do you want the experience of Christ being everything to you? Be in the boat. So I want to talk about the blessings of the boat. Oh, one more thing. I think this week in our study in Hebrews, didn't we have a message, or these weeks, it was on today, right? That was the title of the message on Friday night in our Bible study and of our week review. But actually, that's talking about the Sabbath rest. There remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. And I can tell you, the rest is in the boat. The rest is in the church life. You know, when did the calm come in these stories? When you put the boat with the Lord in the boat. And the disciples are what? Focused on the Lord in the boat, not on the storm. What happens? Oh, it says, a great calm. A great calm. You know, in the Greek, that word great is mega. M-E-G-A. It's a big calm. These days, brothers and sisters, we all need a big calm. But the calm is in the boat. And, you know, in these two stories, you can see Jesus in three positions or in three places. And I hope that this would help us. I hope this would help us to see and have a deeper experience of the Lord in the boat. You know, I'll start with Matthew 14. You know, this story in Matthew 14, it is right after the story of the feeding of the 5,000. And so they have that's that great miracle. And then very interesting that we started with verse 22. Immediately he compelled the disciples to step into the boat and to go out before him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. I don't know, you know, sometimes we read these accounts, we don't stop and think too much. But picture this. They had that great thing, thousands of people, and then the Lord says, okay, get in the boat and you go, and I'll take care of this. I'll take care of it. So the Lord was like the usher at the end of the meeting, getting everybody out. We're not going to push people out today. We're having lunch together, right? So the ushers won't do this. But here it said he sent the crowds away. He sent the crowds away. And then what does it say? After he sent the crowds away, he went up to the mountain privately to pray. And when night fell, he was there alone. Now the boat was already in the midst of the sea, being battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And this is a picture, saints. This is a picture of the Lord at the beginning of the church age. He ascended. He ascended. And that's, he went to the mountain to pray. And where are we? Where are we? We're still here. But where exactly are we? On the sea. And he told us, just go. Just go. So today in the church age, we are in the boat, in the church, in this period of time. And this period of time, actually, not just now. You know, always the people of today think these are the worst times. But if you go back in church history, I think those were pretty stormy seas as well throughout all of church history. And so on one hand, the first position we see the Lord in is ascension. Praise the Lord. Actually, we enjoyed this recently in Hebrews, right? He's what in ascension? He's our great high priest. And what is he doing there? He's interceding for you and for me and for every one of us and for every one of the Lord's children and for his church and for his churches, for the local churches. And he's interceding. So he's there, but he hasn't forgotten us. He hasn't forgotten us. Actually, and you know, these two accounts, each of them appears three times in the Gospels. It's interesting to look at these six accounts, you know, like to match the three accounts of the Lord, you know, coming to them, walking on the sea, and the accounts of him sleeping. Very interesting to match the three. In one of them, you can see he was there in ascension, but then he comes and he sees them. He sees them on the water. He's not away from us, but he's in ascension and he's interceding. Saints, he's always interceding. Never think he forgot you. Never think he forgot you. And then even in the church life, sometimes, this is actually the second story. Where was the Lord when the wind was battering and the waves were battering? Where was the Lord? He was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And what did they say? Lord, don't you care? Don't you see? We're perishing. I wonder if, you know, we have a number of visitors from other localities, so not just in New York City, but we have some who are the veterans who have been with us through the years, and different ones have come from different places. I wonder if you have ever felt, either in your church life, here or there, Lord, Lord, don't you care? Don't you see what's happening? Sometimes we act like this. as if the Lord is not with us. Oh, dear saints, in ascension, he's interceding for us. When he's with us, even resting, sleeping, he's caring for us. What we need to do is to enter into his rest. Maybe we need to find a cushion and right next to the Lord, and just if you're sleeping, I'm sleeping. Anyway, he's there. It's very interesting. It says, and he went to the mountain, and when night fell. And the entire church age is considered the nighttime, a dark time, the entire church age. And we sense this, saints. We sense, oh, things are getting darker and darker. Don't you have this? It's hardly ever encouraging anymore to ever look at the news. But you know, it's interesting. This account was in the fourth watch of the night, which is from probably 4 a.m. to 6 a.m. And do we not have this phrase, this kind of idiom? It is darkest before the dawn. You know, and the Bible considers that when the Lord comes back, you know, in Malachi, he's called the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. Peter tells us that we need to look at him as the morning star. So we're in the nighttime. We're in the nighttime. But our burden, saints, is do not lose heart. Do not lose heart. So then the Lord comes and he's walking on the sea. Of course, they think he's a phantasm, right? He's a ghost. And so, you know, then of course he speaks. It is I. Very interesting, this account with Peter. I think all of us, when we read this, we get a little jealous of Peter. I know that if I was there, I would not have this boldness of Peter to say, if it's you, command me to come to you. See, because he came out, he said, come. And he came out and walked. I don't know how many steps he walked. Does it tell us? I don't think it tells us how many steps. But he actually walked on the water and then what? Of course, we know it says verse 30, but seeing the strong wind. See, how do you see wind? Have you ever seen wind? You only see the result of the wind. But on trees, right? How did he see the wind? It must have been waves. The point is, he took his focus off of the Lord Jesus for even a moment. And then what? Of course, he became frightened, and he began to sink, and he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? And they got into the boat. So, saints, the second place we see the Lord is walking on the sea. Walking on the sea. Walking on the stormy sea. Not the calm sea later. When the sea was calm, he was in the boat. When the sea is stormy, he's the one walking. He's walking. And then, Peter had the boldness to say, if it's you, I want to do what you're doing. I hope we all would have that boldness. Lord, I want to do what you're doing. I want to have the experience on walking on the stormy sea. And I do believe, saints, I do believe maybe every one of us in this room has already had a little experience of this. A little experience. But I do believe, I thank the Lord for Peter, because he is our example, absolutely. Because I wonder, we've had this experience walking on the sea. Have any of us, like, since then, we've always been walking on the sea. No, everyone I know, including myself, I walked on this sea for a little bit, and something took my attention away. And I started to lose my faith. And I had the experience of sinking. Have you ever sank? But the faithful one, you know, I've wondered about this. The Lord, Octavia, can you stand up, please? Suppose you're the Lord. I don't know how far away the Lord was. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But suppose we're in the boat and you're saying, "It is I, don't be afraid." Say that. Oh, then Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you. Okay, so then I'm coming. When did he start sinking? How close was he to the Lord? But it's very interesting. As soon as he sank, the Lord was, "Oh, you're too far." As soon as I'm glad you're not the Lord. Do you understand? I don't know how far he was. But as soon as he sank, the Lord was closer. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of walking, and don't be afraid of sinking, because our Lord is with us. He's there on the mountain interceding, and he's walking with us. And, or I should say, we're walking with him. Oh no, I should say, we're walking to him on the stormy sea. But if you sink, no problem. You know, we sink and we get condemned. Be honest. Have you never not gotten condemned? Like, "Oh Lord, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm so bad. Oh, don't do that." Because why? Because actually, you're closer to him than you were 5 minutes ago. He's with us on the stormy sea. And dear saints, the churning of the sea, we know, is just increasing in this age. And probably more this year than last year. And it will be more at the end of this year than at the beginning of this year. Oh, let's look away. These are the verses in Hebrews. Let's continue to look away at the author and perfecter of our faith. Look away to the captain of our salvation, the one who is already victorious. And let's keep our eyes on him. But I'd like to point out, this whole experience of Peter outside of the boat only lasted probably a few minutes. Because why? Everything is for the boat. I want to encourage us. Everything is for the church life. You know, if we had time, we don't have time, but I was thinking, oh, I'd like to sing 1226. Glorious church life. Oh, I'd like to sing that. And then another one is, I think it's 1278. In the church of Jesus, there's a place for you. Brothers and sisters, praise the Lord for the church life. The brotherhood is in the church life, in the boat. We serve as priests in the boat. And actually, especially what I want to convey today, we overcome in the boat. If you're out on your own, oh, I think only discouragement is waiting for you. Only discouragement. It's difficult to overcome, not in the body. And then finally, this portion of the Lord. Now, this is another side. This is from Mark 4. And leaving the crowd, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. And other boats were with him. And there arose a great windstorm, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already beginning to fill up. Has this never happened? It seemed like something from the world was coming in. They're just alarmed. And he was in the stern, which is in the rear, sleeping on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, does it not matter to you that we are perishing?" I wonder if we've ever, maybe not these words, but said something like this to the Lord. "Lord, don't you care? Don't you see?" And having awoken, he rebuked the wind and the sea and said to the sea, "Be silent, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Brothers and sisters, we can overcome with the peace-giving Christ. Amen. with the, even I'd say, the sleeping Christ, the resting Christ. I hope we would have the grace to say, Lord, if you're resting, I'm resting. Even if you are sleeping, I'm sleeping. I'm not alarmed with what's going on in my life, in the life of saints around me. Sometimes it's not our situation. Many times it is. With our families, with our children, with our grandchildren, with our parents, with our extended family. There are situations. But sometimes it's not our own. It's saints that we love and we're praying for. News comes to us of saints that we've been companions with. And it causes a kind of a shaking. A kind of a shaking. Lord, how could this happen? I went through this just the other day. Oh, it matters to him concerning you. That's what it says in, you know, it's significant that Peter is the one who says this. Yes, 1 Peter 5. It matters to him concerning you. Oh, that we would have the grace to rest with him in the boat. Saints, praise the Lord for the church life. We're all in the boat, in this journey, in this journey. We will get to the other side with the Lord in the boat. Because he said, go to the other side. So we'll get to the other side safely. May we all have the grace to be one with him in his ascension, in his walking on the stormy sea, and in his resting in the boat in the church life. Amen. Brothers, you. Amen.
Thank the Lord, we are in the church. Amen. We are in the boat. The Lord is in the boat, so we are going on with the Lord. The Lord gave us the banners, loving the brotherhood, and also serving in the priesthood and overcoming. I feel the Lord gave us these banners, and today we are in the midst what the Lord is arranging for us to go on with him. While I say this, because we are in the church, we have just covering some of the last winter training messages. And the message 7 was, in fact, our brother mentioned, knowing the ascension. So today, our Christ is in the ascension. And our brother also mentioned that in ascension, he is interceding for us because he is the high priest. So it's very precious. The Lord is with us. And even he's praying with us, praying for us. The next message is concerning that's covered, which we just covered this past week, experiencing and enjoying the all-inclusive Christ as the good land in which we are lacking nothing. So the Lord is our wonderful and full supply. And the church is also pursuing the book of Hebrews. And this week, we're also covering the encouraging word. The Lord not only he's with us, praying for us, he's asking us to come forward. Our brother mentioned, you know, we should not have a heart of unbelief, but rather we should come forward. In the book of Hebrews, three places mentioned about come forward. Of course, the writer must be someplace. Then he can tell all the other Hebrew believers to come forward. In the book of Hebrews, three places mentioned come forward. One is in chapter 4. I mentioned about we need to come forward to the throne of grace. And the second place is in chapter 7. The writer encouraged the Hebrew believers to come forward to God. God is on the throne. And the third place in chapter 10, we need to come forward to the Holy of Holies. So all these three places, in fact, is very much related to our spirit, because the very God has a dwelling place. Of course, the church is his dwelling place. But at the same time, our spirit is God's dwelling place. Our spirit has the throne of grace. And we all can come forward. And Holy of Holies is our spirit. So when we return to our spirit, we are joined to this ascended one. I really enjoy knowing the ascension. That today, our Christ is in ascension. Just like our brother mentioned, he is in the mountains. He is in the mountain praying. And we are sailing on the stormy sea. But we have the Lord's word. If we believe the Lord's word, we surely will reach the other side. So we need to have a heart of not unbelief, but believing heart. So we can be one with him, that he can lead us. So I'm very encouraging the Lord, even through what we are covering, to show us that he is with us and that we are going on with him. Amen. So the man of ascension, I enjoy the Lord's ascension is his inauguration. That he was officially appointed both Lord and Christ. Amen. And in addition to Lord, he is over all. He possesses all the positive things. All of us, we belong to him. And he take care of us. And he is also the Christ. In his ascension, he was anointed. He is the anointed one to accomplish God's economy. Amen. And we are a part of it. Praise the Lord, we are joined to the anointed one. You know, Paul mentioned in 2 Corinthians 1 that he who has firmly attached us with you unto Christ. That is our position. Well, in fact, we are his body, you know. In Psalm 133, he mentioned the anointing is flowing from the head all the way to the beard, to the garment, to the lowest part. So we are anointed with him. In Hebrews, he mentioned that we are the partners with him to accomplish his purpose. So I'm just feeling so encouraged. The Lord is leading us, not just kind of in a vague way, but rather every day when we get into the Holy Word, when we enjoy the book of Hebrews, we are in the midst of the Lord's leading with his presence and with his prayer. So I'm very encouraged. In ascension, he was not only the Lord and Christ, he's also a high priest. And he is the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. With the picture of Melchizedek, which is the first mention concerning priests, which is in the book of Genesis. In Genesis, when Abraham defeated four kings and coming back, he went to save his brother. That's a brother he loved. You know? We all need to have that, you know. I'm just thinking, none of us really love the brothers. It may be a shocking statement. Only the Lord, he is the one loving the brothers. Amen. I feel loving the brotherhood, loving the brothers. Firstly, we need to love the Lord. He is our brother. We should not try to love one another without loving the Lord. That doesn't work. So we have to come to the Lord every day. Amen. So his love will be infused into us. Then we will love one another. Amen. So the picture concerning Abraham, I really enjoy. That, you know, he went to fight and defeated four kings and returned in, and Melchizedek was ready. How did he find out when Abraham will come back? He must be praying. And in fact, Melchizedek brought bread and wine to supply Abraham. The Lord gave me the burden that, you know, Abraham went to save Lot. Because the Lot was captured. And Abraham didn't think much. I didn't see, you know, he considered whether how many, you know, he only has 318, you know. household servant. They grew up in his house, and he trained them, and they're going to fight. They're going to fight with four kings. You know, I will have second thought, but the Lord, but Abraham did that. Of course, he has some associates, neighbors, maybe joined the battle. But anyway, the point is, Abraham go and rescue Lot, his brother. I think that's really brotherly love. Of course, the ending wasn't so encouraging, because in chapter 14, Abraham defeated the four kings and brought Lot back with the woman, with all the properties. But in chapter 18, Lot was in not a good situation, because Lot eventually, he has run for his life, because in the city Sodom, it was condemned by God, and God came to judge the city. And Lot was barely made it alive out of the city. And I feel Abraham, my personal feeling, Abraham should have follow-up shepherding concerning Lot, but he didn't. He didn't. So maybe there was some situation between Abraham and Lot. And because when they both have a lot of sheep and everything, and Abraham said, you choose. You go left, I go right. And that may have caused some kind of unpleasant feeling concerning between Lot and Abraham. But make a long story short, Lot didn't make it. He made it alive, but he wasn't in the church life. He was not with Abraham. So the Lord just touched me. We all need to have the brotherly love. We need to have care for one another. Amen. We need to care for one another so we all can be in the boat. Amen. You know, if Lot remained with Abraham in the boat, Lot will be fine. Amen. But he went his own way. I think a lot of saints, we may have for a while in the church life, then we go our own way. And it seems like, you know, we may say, you know, just let him go, because that's how he chooses. But I was thinking, you know, Genesis 18 should connect with 14 and 18 should connect with Matthew 18. Matthew 18, when the brother offended another one, and he went by himself, and secondly, doesn't listen, bring two or three, doesn't listen, bring to the church, and doesn't listen, consider him as Gentiles and tax collectors that go, right? No. Tax collectors and should be kind of like unbelievers. Unbelievers, we need to love, we all love the unbelievers, right? I think in church meeting we say, whoever is first time, please stand up. A lot of gospel, sometimes the gospel friend come. We all love them. We all shake hands with them. So if Lot was treated like Matthew 18, I think Lot may come back to Abraham, but he didn't. But so I feel it's very important for us all to remain in the boat, in the church life, to enjoy the Lord, enjoy one another portion. Of course, we also serve as a priest. You know, I thought the Lord is a kidney priest. Because he is from the tribe of Judah, not from the tribe of Levi. And Peter got the revelation. We are royal priesthood. Amen. That's in 1 Peter chapter 2, I think verse 9. And we also are holy priests. That's 2:5. So thank the Lord. The Lord wants us to be the same as him. Amen. And we all can, pray for one another and stand with one another. Amen. The last thing I want to mention is, the Lord's in ascension. The Lord's in ascension, it should be our experience. We should experience the Lord's ascension also. Recently, the Lord touched me a little bit. You know, a lot of time when I spend time in the morning, I take the blood. I take the blood and stay alone. The blood was shed on the altar. But after I confess, I remain around the altar. I never realized the one shedding the blood for us now is in ascension. Amen. He is on the throne. So our experience should also be with him. Amen. But rather we lingering in his earthly ministry. His earthly ministry is a foundation. It's for us to go up. Amen. So may the Lord encourage all of us. I'm encouraged a little bit to spend time in the morning and to spend time in ascension. Amen. Not just lingering around confessing my sin and later still feel bad. I fail. But we should enjoy the unsearchable riches of Christ.
Amen.
To enjoy him, of course, the good land is our portion. But in Colossians, it mentions we are the plants planted in the good land. Enjoying all the riches in the soil and to absorb all the riches for our church life. I feel the Lord is really taking us up.
Amen.
To fulfill the three banners.
Amen.
You know, for the church here to go on with him.
Amen.
Amen.
I felt this fellowship about Christ walking on the water, both in Matthew and in Mark, were very timely this morning. I just would like to underline a couple of things. These banners on loving the brothers, serving with the priesthood, loving the brotherhood, serving in the priesthood, and overcoming are very real. And I believe over these years, all the banners have been the Lord speaking to us in how to go on. And as Ricky mentioned, we were in Hebrews this week, Friday night, and in that portion there, it was mentioning that this matter of the Sabbath has stages, the Sabbath rest has stages. The church life is the first stage of the Sabbath rest.
Yeah.
And so praise the Lord, we're in the church life.
Amen.
Stay in the boat, you're in the Sabbath rest. Even though outside the sea is churning, we are in the Sabbath rest. But the second stage is the millennial kingdom. And this is related to overcome at the end of the third banner. If we want to be with Christ in the millennial kingdom, we need to be the overcomers reigning with him in the millennial kingdom. And I feel loving the brothers and serving in the priesthood are great. They're the way for us to overcome. You know, Matthew 25, I was reminded of that this week. You have the 10 virgins. The five wise ones were filled with oil in their vessel. How do we do that? Well, every day we need to come to the Lord to be filled. Every day we need to love the Lord. And by loving the Lord, what? We're going to love the brothers because the Lord loves the brothers. So loving the brotherhood really comes from our spending time with the Lord today. We mentioned this on Friday night. This word today is very meaningful. And that second part of that, Matthew 25, is the servants. They have the talents. And they need to, you know, use their talents, invest their talents to serve the Lord. Well, for us to be serving in the priesthood is the way for our talents to increase. It's the way for us to what? Overcome. If we're loving the brotherhood, spending time with the Lord, serving the Lord in the church life, in the priesthood, we will be those overcoming in the millennial kingdom. And just lastly, this word today is very meaningful. To me, you know, when I think of overcoming, I mentioned this on Friday night, to me it's, I don't know, it's like a big thing, a big deal. It's huge. But today is very reachable. He says, today, if you hear his voice. Overcoming begins with today. And tomorrow it begins with today, because yesterday's gone, and we don't have tomorrow, right? So every day we need to begin with today.
Amen.
If you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.
Amen.
And love the Lord, love the brothers, and serve with the saints today, and we will all overcome.
Amen.
I feel these banners are very practical.
The word news, actually the four letters, represent north, east, west, and south. And that's the word news from. And as a matter of fact, these days, there's no news, it's good news. That's what we always say, right? No news is good news. However, no matter how we see it, is the news, is the tempest. is blowing from all directions, coming to God knows where. Because in the past, we can see there is some reasonings, there's some logic. And in the age of lawlessness, the reason is lawlessness, which means you have no idea where they come from. However, in that John 3, that's what the Lord talked about, the Spirit. The Spirit comes and goes like the wind. And these days, saints, the darkness, the enemy, the satanic demonic force, diabolic realm is blowing. It's not a tempest in a kettle. It's a tempest around us, all over the place. And the saints, even physical realm, spiritual realm, up and down, it's no longer a news. These days, the so-called this media or that media, even childish speaking like a TikTok, is taking over the adult world. Saints, can you believe it? What a childish stuff. Yet, reasonable people turned into unreasonable. Saints, this storm with the environment blowing and the second half of the year, believe us, it's not going to get you anywhere easier, anywhere brighter. The spiritual warfare is raging and intensifying. North, east, west, south, all the directions. Since we only have one direction to look, is up. The one on the throne. Look up. Paul encourages us, set our mind, set our thoughts up there. Go up there. Now the ladder is established, connecting the earth to the heaven. It's not horizontal. The ladder is going up. The whole book of Hebrew is encouraging us to lift up our head from the earthly realm. Look up. Think high. And also follow his footsteps. The real thing is up there. And that, our Lord, still on the throne. The heavenly ministry is interceding for us. And today, no matter how the wind blows, how the wave, even crashing into the boat, saints, what the Lord told Joshua, be strong. Do not be afraid. Take courage. Saints, that's what we need today. But in order to do that, you know, individually is very difficult. We need to be in the boat. We need to be in the church life. We brothers use it a few times in the Asian, the Wild West days. Circle our wagons. We need to circle our wagons to fend off the enemy's flaming darts. Since today, the church life is our refuge. Our church life is our protection. And even a few years ago, 2016, when the lake in KPCC was totally frozen up, I brought a group of younger brothers to the lake. I said, do you believe we can walk on water? The young brothers, just those city slickers, city dwellers, they have no idea. They can ski in a skiing ring, but not walk on the lake. I said, I'll walk, you follow me. So I walk to the center of the lake and I jump. The brothers were so scared. I said, hey, you of little faith. But it says that's something humanly we know is not going to break because the ice is about a foot thick. Okay. One time I was stepping on the boat. I made sure one brother is next to me. He might be here or he's working. And of course, by purpose or whatever, I just want to see how fast I sink in the water. And I don't know if you ever dived in the deep end of the pool, okay? It's pretty fast, right? So I step on the boat, on one side of the boat, and the boat just flipped. And I was in the water. And then that brother standing on the bank reached out to me and grabbed me and pulled me out of the water. Of course, I was totally soaked with a lot of dirty things. But brothers, if without that brother, I dare not to test. Without that brother, I might be swimming or I don't know where I am. So brothers and sisters, the church life is our refuge. Our brothers and sisters next to us, our companions, is the Lord's ascending rescue for us to remind us we are in good hand. So saints, this boat is our church life. And we hope this next 6 months, we pray for one another, we stand for one another, and we hide into the church life and circle our wagons for our young, for our seniors, and for our middle-aged saints, and for our college, for our young working saints. We need to circle our wagons through warring prayers, through the kingdom prayers, to fend off and to protect our saints and our young ones. Saints, what a glory. You know, at least twice a year, we gather together to encourage one another. And this is the best fending off, best declaration, proclamation that our Lord is yet on the throne. Our Lord yet overcoming in his church. May our Lord be the true head toward his true body and trample on the enemy. And today, there's no peace. We don't have the hope for that. But our Lord is our true counselor, protector, and our true companion in our boat. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, the supply to overcome is in the brotherhood.
Amen. Amen.
The supply to overcome is in the priesthood. And in Philippians 1:19, Paul said, "For I know that for me, this will turn out to salvation through your petition and the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ."
Amen.
And the context, we know salvation there was for Paul to magnify Christ. And that was to overcome. So he overcame in that situation by the saints' prayers and by the bountiful supply.
Amen.
Well, where else in the Scripture do we see the bountiful supply of the Spirit? Well, Exodus chapter 30 is the compound ointment, which is a type of the bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I really like Exodus 30:30. It says, "And you shall anoint Aaron and his sons, and sanctify them that they may serve me as priests."
Amen.
The supply to overcome is with the priesthood.
Amen.
Where else is it? Psalm 133 says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell in unity."
Amen.
It is like the fine oil. Amen. Brothers and sisters, that fine oil is the bountiful supply of the Spirit.
Amen.
The fine oil upon the head that ran down upon the beard, upon Aaron's beard, that ran down upon the hem of his garment.
Amen.
So brothers and sisters, that supply to overcome, it's in the brotherhood and it's in the priesthood.
Amen.
When we're together with the saints, when we're serving together to overcome, rather than being a labor, it is spontaneous.
Amen.
We have the rich supply. I want to say something about the brotherhood. You know, the difference, you know, you could say you could be a brother, yet you may have an absence of the brotherhood. And a very simple definition of brotherhood is it's that relationship of being a brother. Amen. And of course, you know, we've probably heard, and perhaps even in our own families, had the, seen estrangement. You're related, but you're unrelated. But to have the brotherhood in the church life means that we're together. Amen. It means that we support one another. Amen. It means that there's mutual encouragement and mutual supply. Amen. Even in preparing to serve this weekend, you know, one of the brothers called said, I can't serve alone. Can you serve together with me? Amen. That's to mutually support one another. Amen. And then another thing about the priesthood and the brotherhood, it is holy. You know, in 1 Peter 2:5, I think, was it Brother Dennis? He said, it's the holy priesthood. And then the brotherhood, in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, Paul said, the holy brothers. So how do we have the holy priesthood? How do we have the holy brotherhood? And sisters, this is by the exercise of our mingled spirit. Amen. Exercise of our spirit. It's the functions of our spirit. It's to take care of our conscience, yes, to be in fellowship with the Lord, and to take care of our intuition. Amen. Oh, just a little testimony. This last week, I had the time to get together with some brothers for dinner, and just a normal human time in conversation with one another, but this was the brotherhood. Amen. Taking care of one another, supporting one another, supplying one another, the mutuality. And in that time, I was about to say something, and then there was just a speaking from within by the Lord. Don't say that. Don't say that. Well, when we exercise our spirit, it preserves the priesthood. Amen. And it preserves the brotherhood. Amen. In holiness. So, brothers and sisters, so good the Lord is leading us in this way. Amen. We have the holy brotherhood. Amen. We have the holy priesthood. Amen. And when we're here, there is the supply to overcome.
Amen. Amen.
You know, it's very sovereign of the Lord that we are in this portion this week, because it is impossible to experience and enjoy any of these banners without absorbing the riches of Christ that are in the land and in the soil. We need to absorb him day by day and moment by moment. You know, the Lord brought me to Matthew 18, and I could not understand why until Brother Timothy spoke, realizing that the brotherhood is in the boat. The priesthood is in the boat. And the overcoming is only by being in the boat.
Amen.
But what happens when we're in the boat? Inevitably, someone is going to offend us. Someone is, and in Matthew 18, right after the Lord talks about the relationship of the believers in the kingdom, right, and how to resolve conflicts, our dear brother Peter asked the question, Lord, how many times should, if a brother sins against me, should I forgive him? Seven times? And the Lord said, I say to you, not seven times, 70 times seven. 70 times seven. So, what was the Lord's wisdom there? The conflict, the disagreements. And it's very possible that Peter was experiencing this from a particular brother that was doing the exact same thing over and over and over again. And Peter was just fed up. So he asked the Lord. He cried out. He talked to the Lord as his counselor. We had that this week, right? He talked to the Lord as, Lord, how many times? Inevitably, when we're offended, our desire, our inclination, our natural man wants to leave the church life. I do not want to be with that brother/sister anymore. I do not want to serve with that one anymore. I am just not going back. But brothers and sisters, the brotherhood, the priesthood, and overcoming are in the boat.
Amen.
So the enemy's strategy is to get us out of the boat, but we need to fight to stay in the boat.
Amen.
The same apostle, the same disciple that asked how many times is the only one that uses the phrase brotherhood and priesthood. He got it. And just like for him, there's hope for us.
Amen.
Only if we enjoy the riches of the good land, the land in which we do not lack anything,
Amen.
By spending time with him.
Amen.
This is what Paul is referring to in Colossians chapter 3. After he describes the virtues of Christ, what does he say? Bearing one another.
Amen.
That bearing one another means making concessions. That is, once we're in the light, we realize only the Lord is absolute. Only the Lord is absolute for God.
Amen.
So who am I to judge?
Amen.
So I bear my brother.
Amen.
I lift up my brother. And I forgive my brother.
Amen.
In Ephesians, he said, forgiving in love. In Colossians, he says, forgiving even as the Lord forgave you.
Amen.
In the same manner in which we forgive one another, our Heavenly Father forgives us. And this is the supply to stay in the boat, to stay in the church life,
Amen.
To enjoy, to love the brotherhood,
Amen.
To serve in the priesthood,
Amen.
And to overcome,
Amen.
To overcome, to reign with Christ in the millennial kingdom.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord for the glorious church life.
Amen.
Where we are. We're in the boat.
Amen.
We're in the church life.
Amen.
In Hebrews chapter 4, we have a promise from the Lord and also a warning. So the promise is the promise of entering into his rest. And the warning is we may have come short of it. So to have the rest, we need to enter into the good land. You know, in Life Message 17 of the book of Hebrew, it has a special utterance. The good land is actually our church life. So to enter into the rest of the Sabbath of the good land is actually enter into the church life.
Amen.
And how to enter into the church life? We're actually... we should be in the boat. We stay in the boat, and we stay in the church life. In the church life, we have peace. In the church life, we have rest. Why? Because we have our Lord Jesus Christ, and he is interceding for us in the heavens, and he is also in our spirit with us in the boat. And also, he empowers us to overcome this world.
Amen.
Dear saints, look at the outside. Look at this world. We are in the age of lawlessness. We're in the last stage of this age. So we need to overcome this dark age. We need to be empowered by our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Dear saints, how? We need to have our normal church life. Dear saints, it's so crucial. We are surrounded by the saints. That's Hebrews 12:1. We have so many witnesses surrounding us,
Amen.
So we can run this race. We can run to the end. So we can even be able to enter into the second stage of Sabbath. That's actually the all the rewards in the millennial kingdom. Praise the Lord, saints, for the church life.
Amen.
Stay with the saints.
Amen.
So we can love one another in the brotherhood.
Amen.
So we can serve together in the priesthood.
Amen.
So we can overcome this world.
Amen.
So we can welcome our coming of our Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So our Lord Jesus have overcome this world. Take courage. And we should have peace in him and in the boat.
Our boat life is fruitful yet very busy. But we are not just keeping us busy with our direction. The brother, our dear brother, just make a question to us at the beginning. How does this portion in Matthew 14 relate to the banner this year? And I keep reading it and thinking about what we have been entering in the Holy Word of Morning Revival, our morning watch, and also the Hebrews pursuit this year. It seems everything comes together. From the morning watch, we know that the ministry is heading us to a type of Christian life that we need to pay a price. When we're enjoying the heavenly manna, it's effortless. All you need to do is wake up a little bit early in the morning and you will be fed. But when we are in the good land, the key burden, one of the key burdens is to labor. Labor requires our effort. Also, in Hebrews, it's not like Peter's. Peter talks about we drink the gallus milk. Hebrews talks about we eat the dry food. We need to chew it. We need to digest it. A bit more effort. And today, we are on the boat life. Why does the boat life also require the effort? Because the whole world is opposing to the direction and the destination that the Lord ordained. The Lord ordained to go to Bethsaida in that record. The time is dark. It's the fourth watch. As our brother mentioned, it's the darkest time of the whole day. The wind was blowing the contrary, the opposite direction. The wind signifies the evil spirit. And the waves, there were ghosts in the water. The demons. The whole world is opposing to what the Lord ordains us. The night, the wind, and the water. But the Lord compelled the disciples. I really like the word compelled in the English translation. Equivalently is constrained. I wish the Chinese and the Spanish translation can capture that. Because in Chinese, it's like urging. And then in Spanish, correct me if I'm wrong, it simply says enter into the boat. But the Lord compelled us into the boat. As Christian, we don't have a choice. Remember the previous record, there were 5,000 being fed, but how many were in that boat? It's not a Titanic. By that time, the technology did not afford a 5,000 people boat. There must not be all 5,000 people in the boat. Some choose to lay back. I just have a wonderful meal with the Lord. How about I fellowship with the dear brothers and sisters and wait for the second morning, and then I will go to Bethsaida. But the Lord compelled us. If we love the Lord, we're constrained by the love of the Lord, we will answer his calling. Amen. Jump on the boat. Amen. Jump onto the boat life. Amen. That takes a price. Rolling. You know, it's not a motorboat. Clearly, they said they rowed. If you rowed, you know that it takes a lot of effort. But it's not an individual effort. For example, if brother and I rowed in the opposite direction, the boat will stay where it is. This is why it comes to the brotherhood. We chose to follow the Lord. That's overcoming. But we need brothers and sisters to serve together. In one spirit, in one mind, and in one accord. So that we will row to God's ordained destination. We need this brotherhood. And we need this priesthood in one accord. So that we will together oppose the evil wind, the waves, the storms, and the dark time. Amen. The destination is glory. Amen. We will reach to Mount Zion. Amen. Amen.
In Philippians chapter 2, Paul... In Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul mentions his relationship with one of his close brothers. And this brother is not a very well-known one. We usually know of Luke. We know of Silas. We know of Onesimus or Timothy, right? We know these ones. But in Philippians 2, Paul mentions this brother called Epaphroditus, or Epaphras in other places. And Paul's feeling towards his brother, he said, was that he mentioned to the Philippians, he said, you know, this brother, he almost drew near to death. He almost died of his sickness. But Paul said that, but God had mercy on him. And not just on him only, but also on me. Because if my brother Epaphroditus did pass away, I would have sorrow upon sorrow. And this is the way that Paul had a feeling concerning one of his brothers. And I feel like in the church, this is the kind of feeling that we need, and honestly, sometimes I lack. And this is something where we need to pursue. We not only have the brothers, we have the brotherhood. We have the brothers in the sense of brotherliness. Paul said that Epaphroditus is his brother, his fellow worker, and his fellow soldier. And the order is so clear. It's first brother, then fellow worker, then fellow soldier. Amen. It's so easy for me to be fellow workers with these brothers. We're workers, but I don't know them as a brother. We work, but there's no sense of brotherliness. Have you ever been in the church where you feel like every Lord's Day, you see the same saints, but you actually don't really know anyone? Brothers and sisters, we all need to pursue in this matter of the brotherhood. Amen. Loving the brotherhood. Amen. In fact, if I ask you, who is your brother? I don't mean someone you see at every Lord's Day. Really, who is your brother? The one who, if something happened, you would have sorrow upon sorrow. And then who is your fellow worker? Maybe we don't even have work. What is your work in the church? Do we have work in the church? We all should have work in the church. And not only do we have work, we need to have fellow workers. Amen. And lastly, we are fellow soldiers. Isn't this just so much like brotherhood, priesthood, overcoming? Brotherhood is the brother. Priesthood is the worker. Overcoming is being a fellow soldier. Amen. We can only overcome by being in the church. And as all the brothers have shared, this coming year, in the next few months, there will be a lot of winds blowing. We don't need to mention them. You know, some from the outside, some maybe inside. With all these winds blowing, brothers and sisters, let's get into the boat. Amen. When we get into the boat, the Lord will give us peace. Amen. But if we leave the boat, we will not have peace. So let's not give the enemy an opportunity. Let's do our best to get into the boat, Amen. To be in the things of the church. And the Lord will give us peace. Amen. Amen.
Amen. So we just want to say something about our corporate truth pursuit and pursuit of truth constitution, as well as the Friday night Bible study that goes along with this and corresponds to it. I just, you know, always have some feeling to say something about our pursuit of the truth. I think Peter will say a little more about the Friday night Bible study. You know, one of the brothers spoke about the solid food and our need to have solid food rather than just milk. And you know, what exactly does that mean? It can mean a lot of things, right? A lot of ways to interpret it. And, you know, as a bare minimum in our Christian life, just to survive, we must have a time with the Lord every morning. And it's at this time that we receive a supply to live our Christian life. Yet to be really healthy, we need to advance to the solid food. One of the ways to take in that solid food is the consistent, persistent, and diligent study of the truth in the way of life. You know, to be a healthy church, we need it to be a church that is full of the truth. Amen. And it's by taking the truth in the way of study, but in the way of prayer, and in the way of exercise, that we receive the solid food that is the richer supply to strengthen us and to make the church life strong. I just want to say three things about this, kind of benefits of studying the truth. The first is that it's an opportunity, or rather, it gives the Lord the opportunity to shine on us more and to renew us. You know, Romans 12:2, it says we need to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. We come to Titus 3:5, it says we're renewed by the washing of regeneration. And then when we come to Ephesians 5, it talks about the washing in the water of the Word. So, you know, there are a lot of things that can pollute our mind, but by coming back to the Word in a regular way, our mind is renewed.
Amen.
Second thing I want to mention is the Lord wants to change our taste. We see with the children of Israel as He brought them out from Egypt into the wilderness, what was the solid diet? No more flesh pots. No more garlic and leeks. There was just manna. And I'm unsure if you're like me. I think I still have a little taste for the flesh pots, a little taste for garlic, a little taste for leeks, that I could testify when I'm immersed in the truth, those tastes begin to dissipate.
Amen.
And the Lord can change our taste by a regular taking in of the truth. Those feelings and the desire to take in things that are less healthy, they just begin to slough away and go away, and we just want more of the Lord,
Amen.
The things of the church life. Finally, when we're in the truth in a regular way, in a steady way, we have something to offer others. You ever go to the meeting and feel like you don't have anything? Well, it's probably untrue. You have something, but you definitely have more if you're spending time regularly in the truth and the way of life. So may the Lord take us on as the whole church to build up the daily habit, the week-by-week habit of being in the matter of the truth, especially, you know, with corresponding to our truth pursuit, both in the life studies of Hebrews and in the books that support that.
Amen.
Yeah, every week we have two meetings that really support this crucial truth, Bible study in the book of Hebrews. And on Thursday night, actually, we have about 90 to 100 Chinese-speaking saints or saints joining. This meeting is Chinese-speaking. And they pursue the book of Hebrews, getting into the crucial point. And then on Friday night, we have the English-speaking saints, the Spanish-speaking saints, and even some Chinese-speaking saints who join on Friday evening, where we also have about 90 to 100 saints attending. And they're speaking, and there's ministry on the book of Hebrews. In a way of even overflowing from the pursuit in this book. You know, brothers and sisters, I just want to testify that having been in this truth pursuit in the book of Hebrews for about, we are now in week 18. There are a total of 40 weeks. We're almost halfway there. There's been a noticeable increase in the level of life in the church. In fact, sometimes I hear these things like, the prophesying meeting in these halls have been so rich. And part of me, I can't help but wonder if that has something to do with the saints getting into the book of Hebrews, getting into the Bible, the solid food, in a diligent and regular way. And that has impact on our church life.
Amen.
And if you feel like for the past half year you've been more fed than ever, it's because someone paid the price to pursue the truth.
Amen.
And to minister the wine to us.
Amen.
So brothers and sisters, we're only halfway there. There's still opportunity to jump in. We have about 22 more weeks to get into the book of Hebrews, okay? Okay, and then if you would like the meeting information on joining those meetings on Thursday night or Friday night, you can go to the church website.
Amen.
Yeah, next one. Okay, so now we'd like to, just for the remainder of this year, well, very quickly, we have some of these events that are coming up that will relate to many of us here. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we mentioned we want to be in the boat. Well, here are practical ways to be in the boat.
Amen.
Okay, so for example, so let's see, maybe we'll start with July 1st through the 6th. We have the semi-annual training. That's in Anaheim, California, you see there, but actually we have that training over video, so you can be in New York and watch the video.
Amen.
And in the past, we've had 300 to 400 saints join this training. It's very, very beneficial. We all need to be trained by the Lord to go on. And so that would be very good to participate.
Amen.
And you can still sign up.
Okay. All right. And just kind of to add to the overall sharing about the calendar, you know, I think a lot of us are concerned for our next generation. Brother Peter talked a little bit about these things, and I think it's on the forefront of a lot of our consciousness. With so much access to things that are so polluting and defiling and many things in society, how do we care for our next generation? We know from Timothy, Paul said to him, he said, you have, from a babe, you have known the sacred writings. So on the one hand, we take care of ourselves, we take care of the next generation by helping ourselves and helping them to know the sacred writings, to know the scripture. Yet on the other hand, there's a need for the community life with one another and to be together in the positive things. And these items on the calendar, almost every one of them, gives an opportunity for the saints of all ages, from the youth all the way to the elderly saints, to be together in a positive way. Amen. When we're together like this, it saves us and it preserves us from the evil generation. Amen. And certainly our children need this. So what was the next item we were going to mention? So we have the Northeast College Training coming up. I think it's 5 years. It's national this year. Every 4 years, thank you. Every 4 years, it's national. This year, it's regional up at KPCC. So if you're interested in serving, if you're a college student and you'd like to attend, please fellowship, and we can work that out.
Then we have the Northeast Summer School of Truth. You see right there, July 20th through August 8th. That actually has a high school and a middle school section where in the past, actually, we've had 500 saints joining that Summer School of Truth with a lot of high schoolers and middle schoolers. Okay, so that's July 20th through August 8th. Maybe I'll come back to that. Okay, we also want to mention July 24th to 28th, so it's not on the calendar. July 24th to 28th, we have the North America Chinese-Speaking Perfecting Training. Amen. Chinese-Speaking Perfecting Training. And it will be held at Camp Penuel. Camp Penuel. Then we have the Family Bible Camp. Did you want to say something about the family? Family Bible Camp is August 15th to the 17th. That's for the children and also for the families of the children. In the past, we've been averaging about 200 in total with almost 100 children, even over 100 children in certain occasions. We like all the families to join that time. And, you know, maybe for the parents, I like to say this. I know that many of the parents, this past week, I encountered this. We sometimes have the thought, oh, in the summer, I sign up my children for activities, or maybe this is a time when I can build on their college application, or I can build on their educational future. I just like to say this, not only myself, but I know other young people. The more they love the Lord, the more they love their parents. And the more they love the Lord, the more they cared about their education. We sometimes think the Lord is against that these things. Oh, do I do this or do I do school or something? Actually, the more we put our children into the things of the Lord, the more they will love you.
Amen.
And the more, anyway, I think I said enough. The more they will love you and the more that they will take care of their grades.
Amen.
Okay? Your college will be just fine. Okay. Then, September 6th through 8th, the Spanish-speaking conference. Last year, we had 15 churches from the Northeast joining. It was very good. And
So then the Young Working Saints, September 20th through 22nd. This is New York City. It's the whole state of New York. And then in addition to that, it's the region. So saints come down from Massachusetts, from Connecticut. Even had some from as far as the Southwest, I think, last time. And the number was 460, right? Yeah. We had 460. Seemed like we were going to burst at the seams, but everything was okay. And what a wonderful time to be together with the saints, again, from all different places. It was both families and young working saints. We'll be having this time again in September. And trust that the Lord will make the way for even more to come.
Amen. Amen. Next, we have the High School Juniors and Seniors Retreat. That is a crucial transition time for our high schoolers. So that will be also at Camp Penuel, September 27th to the 29th. And then we'll skip the October interval. We'll go to October 19th. You see, brothers and sisters, we have the Citywide Senior Saints Conference again.
Amen.
That happens, I believe, semi-annually. And it's always an encouragement to see many senior saints. In fact, we've had, I was told, 300, even up to 400 who have attended in person and online the Senior Saints Conference. You know, and then we know in the ministry it says the most useful years for someone is actually when they are a senior saint.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we hope we all can support that conference. And then October 25th to 27th, we have the regional conference with our brother Ed Marks, who cares so much for the church here.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Is that good?